On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
Now, as we know, today, February the 14th, is St. Valentine's Day. But here's a question. Have you ever been to see him? It's not actually all that weird a question because the relics of St. Valentine are housed around 200 metres from where I'm sitting right now. And in better times, you'd actually be able to pop in and see his relics because they're housed and they're on display in Whitefriars Street Church here in the middle of Dublin. He was born around the year 226 AD in the Roman Empire, but it's still a little bit of a mystery how this Christian saint, this martyr, came to be synonymous with love. And even still then, the romantic links to the celebrations, despite them being a little bit unexplained, still go back surprisingly far. But I suppose there is a good question buried in the middle of all of that, which is, how did his relics end up being on display in Dublin? Because today, or at least in other Valentine's days, there'd be a site of pilgrimage for many of those in love or seeking love. And it's a far cry from the past when they were placed in storage and completely forgotten about. And Donal Fallon has gone digging to find the story, and he's here with us now. Donal, how are you?
Hey, Gavin, how are you?
Have you made the slog to Whitefriars Street to see his relics before?
I love it. I think it's a really nice little tradition that, you know, in normal times, the crowds flock there. And the relics of St. Valentine, but as we'll hear, that's a little bit contested, you know, because you know, will the real St. Valentine please stand up? There seems to be several. But the visitor's book in that church is really incredible. If you're ever passing, it makes for remarkable reading. And if it wasn't for GDPR, it'd be a great book for somebody, actually, because it's a combination of people seeking love, people thanking Valentine for bringing love their way. And there's a real nice sense of ritual to it, to those relics on this particular date. So the relics of St. Albert, a famed preacher, are also in the Whitefriars Street Church.
Really?
But they don't draw the crowds. You know, people go there to see Valentine. And that church, to me, we walk by it all the time. It blends into the street. But Whitefriars Street Church, it just embodies the change of early 19th century Ireland. It's from the 1820s, the decade of Catholic emancipation, you know, a time when Irish society was being reshaped. Catholic churches were being built with confidence. Catholic businesses were starting to blossom. It was the age of Daniel O'Connell. And this great Carmelite church in the middle of Dublin from that time has the relics, or at least some of the relics, of St. Valentine within it.
There are some other unusual little historical nuggets inside there as well, other than the relics of the two saints you've just mentioned.
Yeah, there's amazing things in it when you pass through. There's this little plaque as you go in the door to Lugs Branigan, you know, revered by some.
That can't be a real name. Nobody's really called Lugs Branigan.
Garda Jim Branigan, with these enormous ears known as Lugs Branigan. Revered, but not by all. He was a boxer who practiced his own kind of unique brand of paperwork-free policing in 1950s okay, Ireland. Right. There's a great statue, which is known as Our Lady of Dublin, a statue of the Virgin Mary that was hit during penal times. So there's all these amazing things. You know, this statue that survived repression, this monument to this famous Garda, and then you just follow the crowds and they bring you to, especially on this day, but generally speaking, I've noticed increasingly in recent years it's something that visitors to Dublin want to see. But on the 14th of February, you just follow the flow of people and you're brought to St. Valentine.
Now, as you mentioned, and oddly enough, there isn't really any full agreement on St. Valentine or just who he was or even how he came to get the reputation that he did.
The Catholic Encyclopedia has three St. Valentines in it, but there's kind of general agreement that it's a 3rd century Roman clergyman martyred on the 14th of February that we commemorate. And it goes back surprisingly far. Like, Valentine's Day begins in the late 5th century, and it's centuries later than that, the 14th century, when it seems to become synonymous with love. And it seems to be poets who do it. Geoffrey Chaucer in the neighbouring island, he does a lot to establish that connection. And he writes poems about kind of mating birds, lovebirds, and what was then spring. I mean, they believed that spring started around this time. So that really, I think, is where that connection comes from with lovebirds, if you will.
And I suppose to draw on that theme for a moment, much of the language of love has been around for quite a long time as well. And even the most famous Valentine's line of all.
Yeah, the lingo of Valentine's Day, you know, the Hallmark cards of today. It's amazing how long some of that's around. Edmund Spenser, the poet, who had, it should be said, no romantic view of poor old Ireland, basically wanted a scorched earth policy when it came to us. But Edmund Spenser could be romantic about other things. And he penned the words, "She bathed with roses red and violets blue and all the sweetest flowers that in the forest grew." So you know,
that's where
your
the line came
of
from.
Roses are red, okay. Violets are blue. And that's in the 16th century. So this goes back a long, long time. And it really boomed then in the 18th century with the giving of gifts becoming commonplace then. So there's arguably a longer history of continuation in terms of romantic poetry, even gifts in Valentine's Day than Christmas.
How did we end up then with the relics of at least one of the three Saints Valentine in a church in central Dublin, of all places?
Yeah, what's a Roman Christian martyr doing on Whitefriars Street in Dublin? You can't really talk about Whitefriars Street Church without talking about Father John Spratt, who was a very famous preacher of the early 19th century, powerhouse figure of the church in Dublin, very close to Daniel O'Connell in life and indeed in death, buried beside him more or less in Glasnevin Cemetery. And you know, Spratt was a priest in real public prominence. He was very involved in kind of social activism, you might say, in Dublin, a city that was kind of free falling into decline on the ground in the liberties, you know, the working class heart of the city, in things like the temperance movement. You know, the old battle line of the temperance movement was that Ireland sober would be Ireland free. So this priest, John Spratt, is of international fame, you might say. And the work that he's doing in Dublin is incredible stuff. He establishes things like the Catholic Asylum for the Female Blind and other kind of social endeavours. And with that in mind, he's kind of brought to Rome. He's something of a famed priest, if you will, of the early 19th century. And they bring him to Rome.
How did he get on over there? Did he have an audience with the Holy Father, or what went on there?
This incredible audience comes to see this kind of priest who works among the poor, if you will, of what is then one of Europe's like declining cities. And when he goes in 1835, it's less than a decade after Catholic emancipation. Ireland is kind of the great hope of the Western Catholic world. You know, they're wondering how this will all develop in the age of O'Connell. And he draws this phenomenal crowd to the largest Jesuit church in Rome. And the great and the good of Rome come to hear him speak. But he receives this remarkable assortment of gifts, and one from the Pope himself, the relics of St. Valentine.
Wow.
So they return to Dublin then, November 1835, kind of triumphantly. And they're paraded through the streets in procession to Whitefriars Street Church. So it's amazing to imagine this, you know, Dublin priest who works amidst the poor of the liberties, speaking in Rome before an audience that includes, you know, the impressed great and good, if you will, of the clergy. And then this gift from the Pope, which makes its way back to Dublin.
And I suppose then, which is a trait common with lots of historical curiosities or great things, that we begin to almost glaze over the fact that they're there. And in time, people kind of lost interest in the fact that the relics were there on display in a church.
Amazingly, when Father Spratt passes, they kind of interest in them wanes and they go into storage for a period. And it's only in the 50s and the 60s, during renovation of the church, that they're finally put on display once more. And if you've been to see them, and I know you have too, we're chatting about that, there's that great statue of St. Valentine by Irene Brough. She was a really talented sculptor from a family of great sculptors. And she was an odd one because she was part of the kind of great bohemian set of 1950s Dublin. And her work, you find her work around Ireland, the great bust of Donegh O'Malley in NUI Galway was her work too. But kind of work by female sculptors in Dublin is very, very rare. But this Valentine, if you will, from the 1950s, is a piece of work by great talent. So it's only in the 50s that interest in these relics kind of blossoms again. I suppose it was also a time when there was more and more interest in Valentine's Day and a more commercialised Valentine's Day emerging too.
Yeah, I suppose because it is often forgotten that it is not just Valentine's Day, but rather Saint Valentine's Day, that the origins of what is now a secular celebration of romance, it is originally a Catholic feast day. I suppose, though, although our claim is quite good because we claim that we got the relics from the Pope of the day, that there are other cities who also lay claim to other relics of other Valentines. And I suppose the big question is, can we all be right?
Yeah, well, the relics of St. Valentine are a great thing to have in your church, aren't they? Because they draw people in. And that's the great challenge for churches everywhere nowadays. And we do live in a time when the Pope is on Twitter, you know, which we never thought would happen. So churches are always seeking engagement with the public beyond the flock, so to speak, beyond the congregation. So I don't think it's surprising that many churches internationally can lay claim to a piece of the Valentine cake, you know. The Basilica of Santa Maria in Rome, the skull, St. Anton's Church in Madrid, perhaps the most significant remains. But churches elsewhere have connections too, Prague, Poland. And then there's relics like Malta, Glasgow that are disputed, you know, alleged relics, you might say. But given the origin of this, that, you know, Father Spratt went to Rome and was gifted these relics, they certainly are some of the relics, is probably the best way to put it, of Valentine. And, you know, a day that reminds us of love and its place in the world, to my mind, is no bad thing. And I think it's surprising, when I was researching this piece, it actually surprised me that so much of what we think of as kind of very crass, modern commercialization, roses are red, violets are blue, has actually been around for centuries. So yeah, all in all, I think the presence of like the relics of St. Valentine in Dublin, it is one of those great little quirky historical facts of the city. And, you know, I think the restaurant owners of the island will no doubt be praying to him for a return to business on Valentine's Day 2022.
Well, they are holding out this promise of maybe having some sort of extra bonus bank holiday whenever things do calm out. And if there is to be another bank holiday, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have one on Monday, the 14th of February 2022, because it will just be a nice February, just in the middle of springtime. You know, there's this kind of sense of new beginnings, and maybe it would be a nice time for people to just have the day off and be able to toddle along to Whitefriars Street and to go and see him there, because it is very much worth seeing. Donald Fallon, thank you very much for joining us this Valentine's Day.
Pray to St. Valentine and not St. Anthony, in my case.
Fingers crossed. Donald Fallon is a historian and he's a presenter of the Three Castles Burning podcast, which you'll find anywhere online.
On the record, on News Talk,
with Pinergy, supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.